just underway, looking for their first win over the Raiders since 2008. They'll bring Oxendine in motion. Hart's going to keep it and get a big hole up the middle. He'll get to the 40. He's at midfield. He's got Derek Mills to beat, and he will do it. Touchdown, Patrick Henry Patriots. On the first play from scrimmage, Hart from the 9 will keep it himself around left side again to the 5 and leaps over Derek Mills and is into the end zone. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? Hunter Hart timed that leap perfectly. Down 19-7 with 9:57 left in the game. And now you have got to put together a scoring drive. You don't have any choice here. Young in at quarterback. First down, handoff, Woody up the middle. Big running room. The gulf opened. And he won't be stopped. You want a big play? There's a big play. Touchdown, Atlee Raiders. 93 yards.
I'm proud of them. There's no doubt. We challenged them a lot this week, especially up front, and said, hey, let's go ahead and see if we can use our weight room. You know, the stuff and time that you spend in there, you ain't as big as these kids. You're not as big as most anybody on our schedule. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, at the point of attack, all that stuff that we've programmed in your mind and all the things that we've done physically to get ready for these moments, we're going to put it on you, line. So, Hunter being in the mix, it certainly has helped in what we're doing with our Wildcat stuff. And then Terrence Oxendine, he's a real quick son of a gun now. He can get out there. And then Justin McCown at the point of attack. And then Zachary Tillman in the backfield. So, you know, that's as good of athletes as we can put out there, knowing what we were trying to do is power to football.
Pretty good night to be Hunter Hart, let me tell you. And I know there's a young gentleman who's only 14 years old over at Glen Allen that had a pretty good night, too. I think it's safe to say 407 yards rushing is a new Jaguars record. What do you think? All right, fans, we're getting into the home stretch, and let's get ready. It is the final word on Week 9 football. It is Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. Rob Witham along with you. Let's go for a ride, shall we? Who's up? Who's down? Who helped their postseason? Who hurt their postseason? Everything you need to know and are, again, projected VHSL standings in the various regions coming up here on this edition of the podcast. But first, we begin by congratulating Patrick Henry. You heard two of Hunter Hart's 3 touchdown runs, the first an 88-yard burst on the first play from scrimmage to give the Patriots the 6-0 lead. And then later, he scores from 9 yards out, leaping over an Atlee defender, and that was like the 4th time in the first half that he did that. Great timing, and that gave Patrick Henry a 19-7 lead with 8:06 to go in the half, and they held that lead until early in the fourth quarter. And then you heard the big call of Clifton Woody's 93-yard run. Atlee had stopped Patrick Henry on downs, got the ball at their own 7. And as we mentioned, just before the play happened, they needed to put together a drive. Well, you couldn't ask for a better drive than one play and 93 yards. And it was an incredible blocking scheme up front for Atlee, because Woody hit the middle, and he was untouched. Nobody came close to him. And when I said the gulf opened, it really did. It looked like Moses had parted the Red Sea. And it was 19-14, but then Patrick Henry chewing up clock, ball control offense, even though they had some issues and some hiccups, and Coach Davis had to call a timeout. And that you don't want to do that when you're trying to run out the clock, but they needed to be as meticulous as possible. And then they score on Hunter Hart's last touchdown run, that one of 7 yards, and that sealed the deal with a minute 48 to go. Put them up 12. Patrick Henry wins their 7th game. They're at 7-1. They have not won 7 games in a season since they went 8-2 8 years ago. And tonight is Patrick Henry's first win over Atlee in 8 years. 26-14 the final. PH 7-1 go to Highland Springs next week. What a matchup that is going to be. And hey, for the young Patriots, this is a great barometer You go to Kreider Stadium. It's going to be senior night. You know, Jawan Carter and company, the senior class of 2017 for Highland Springs, is going to be jacked up to win in their last regular season game at Kreider. They'll likely host at least a playoff game there, unless the wheels fall off. But it's a great barometer. Go in against the defending 5A state champions. Give them all you got. See what you've got. And in one part of the interview we had on the RCI Builders postgame show with head coach Brian Davis of Patrick Henry that you did not hear at the start of this podcast was the fact that Patrick Henry right now is getting a lot of their injured players back, whereas a lot of players now in late October, they're counting the injuries and they're piling up. For Patrick Henry, kids are coming off of injuries and they're getting deeper. And so great opportunity for them next week. We believe with tonight's win, no matter what happens in the last 2 weeks of the season, Patrick Henry will make the 5A North playoffs for the second time in 3 years. And that's a big accomplishment for that program as they are on the rise indeed. And right now, I got to tell you, Brian Davis should get some nods down the stretch for Coach of the Year in the Central Region. Even if they finish at 7-3, somehow stumble with Highland Springs and Lee Davis, I think Davis has to be in the discussion. You've got several other coaches that are certainly worthy of the nomination, but the job that he has done to turn that program and that culture around after he had been so high and so good for so long, and then they crashed into hard times earlier in the decade. And I personally, when he was hired in 2014, thought he was an excellent hire. And he absolutely has turned it around there in Ashland. It was a fantastic night for the Patriots. And the student section got to rush the field, and they've been waiting to do that for a long time with a win over their county rivals. So Patrick Henry is 2-0 in Hanover County. So is Lee Davis. Atlee finishes the county at 1-2, Hanover at 0-3. And so whoever wins the Tomato Bowl in 2 weeks, not only will it help them in the postseason positioning, but they'll be the county champions in Hanover. And trust me, somebody who's followed Hanover County High School football for many years, that means a lot. Now you have to play 3 games. In the old days, it was just the Tomato Bowl. And I can remember Tomato Bowls where 6,000 or 7,000 people came out to watch the game. And back then, that was 10% to 15% of the population of Hanover County. That's how big the Tomato Bowl used to be before the new schools, Atlee first, and then Hanover opened, and it kind of diluted things. All right, so game of the week out of the way. We'll talk about how it affects postseason in 5A North momentarily, but let's start with 6A South and move our way down. Tonight, rather than just go through the scoreboard, and we're not going to worry about our NBC 12 RBA Sports Network Big 12 poll as much. No offense to my friends at NBC 12, obviously. But the rubber's meeting the road with the playoffs, and we got to talk about each region and who's up and who's down. So let's do it. First of all, in 6A South, fifth ranked in our poll, Manchester bounces back, gets the win over Clover Hill 40-20. They are number two now in that 6A South subregion of 8 teams in conferences 3 and 4. They were 1 before they lost last week to Hermitage. Colonial Forge took over the number 1 seed, and they will stay number 1. They shut out number 10 Woodbridge 40-0. And when you hear me use numbers here with these regions, that is what position they were in entering tonight's game. So, in other words, Woodbridge was the 10th seed in 6A South, conferences 3 and 4, which means they're on the outside looking in, and they did not help themselves tonight. Colonial Forge will stay atop that bracket with their win. Manchester will hold on to second place without a problem, even though number 3, River Bend, just below them, knocked off Garfield 35-8. So they'll solidify their positioning. Now, the good news is for Thomas Dale, they might be able to shave a little bit off of River Bend of the advantage that they had. Thomas Dale gets the 18-6 victory tonight over Meadowbrook, and that is a huge loss for the Monarchs, and we'll talk about that in 5A South in just a moment. But coming into tonight, Thomas Dale was less than a half point behind River Bend. So the question is going to be, does beating Meadowbrook give you more bonus points than River Bend beating Garfield? And we'll find out how all that shakes out come early next week from the VHSL. So Dale will stay no worse than fourth when the new numbers come out. Now, just below them, Freedom Prince William, number 5, beats number 9 Forest Park 25-20. That is big news for Cosby, because earlier tonight, James River goes to Cosby and gets the win, 38-21 the final. Cosby falls to 4-4. James River, huge win. They go to 5-3 on the season. Now, with that win, they should be able to shave in to Freedom Prince William's positioning at number 5. Whether they'll take it over or not, I'm not sure. They were 0.75 behind starting the night. They certainly will distance themselves from both Cosby, who lost to James River, and number 8, C.D. Hilton, who had a bye this week. C.D. Hilton will only pick up points based on how their previous opponents did this evening. So, will Cosby drop to 8th? It's possible. But C.D. Hilton having a bye most likely will keep Cosby just ahead of them, as they'll now be even with 8 games each with 2 weeks to play. The good news for Cosby, even though they lost tonight, is with Forest Park and Woodbridge losing, the 9 and the 10 seeds, there's nobody on the outside that's going to jump into the race and cost Cosby a playoff spot. So right now in 6A South, the conference is 3-4. Manchester a solid 2. Thomas Dale at least a 4. James River could come close to 5. Cosby will be in that 7-8 range, but they'll be in with 2 weeks to go. Now the big one here in the area. Everybody wants to know about 5A South. We've run the numbers, and here's what we think will happen first of the week when they come out. First of all, LC Bird, the top seed in the subregion of conferences 11 and 12, and number 3 in our Big 12th poll. No problem with George Wythe tonight, obviously, 75-8. Now, they began the night with 214 points. And what you do, in case you're unfamiliar with the VHSL's crazy number scheme that they get these ratings on, is that you get points for who you beat based on their classification. If you beat a team in a lower classification, you're awarded 2 points apiece for each classification you play down. So, for example, tonight, LC Bird beat George Wythe, which is a 3A school. They get 20 points for winning. They get 4 bonus points because LC Bird is 5A and George Wythe is 3A. So there's 2 classification difference. 2 times 2 is 4. Bird will only get 2 bonus points out of George Wythe because they've only won 1 game. Where LC Bird will pick up some points is how other teams did. Thomas Dale winning 2 points for LC Bird, for example. That was good for them. Excuse me. Had Cosby won tonight, they would have picked up 2 points on that. But James River won, so if Bird wins in that game in 2 weeks, they'll pick up those points then. But we have them picking up 31 points tonight to go to 245 points. And then you divide that by 8, and you get the latest rating. And they'll be at just over 30 points. Not far from where they began the night at 30.571. What we do project is that Highland Springs will overtake Hermitage for second place in 5A South Central. Highland Springs tonight demolishes Henrico, and Henrico, we got to be fair to them. Jalen Jones, their sophomore quarterback, injured and was unable to play. That was a last-minute news that our friends at 804 Varsity broke. And Highland Springs took full advantage, rolled out to a big lead, and never looked back. And so they're now 7-1, and after winning a game against a 5-win Henrico team, that gives them 2 extra bonus points over Hermitage, who struggled with a Game Godwin squad who got a touchdown on the opening kickoff, a touchdown on special teams, or defensively, I should say. But, you know, against Hermitage, when you don't have your big man, Wesley Duggar, who's out for the year, you got to find different ways to score. And the offense was only able to get 1 touchdown. It was Hermitage who pulled away in the third, late third, early fourth, mid fourth quarter, and won 35-20. So both Hermitage and Highland Springs get 24 points for beating fellow 5A schools. But Highland Springs will get 10 extra points for beating Henrico, who has 5 wins. Hermitage gets 8 extra points for beating a 4-win Mills Godwin team. And then you add the other numbers that come in based on their opponents and how they did tonight. And we have Hermitage coming in at 237 points and Highland Springs at 239. So what it did, as we expected, because LC Bird was playing a 1-win team, was that Highland Springs and Hermitage will both cut into LC Bird's lead, which was 2 full points over number 2 Hermitage coming into tonight. We project Highland Springs to be in second now, and they're only 6 points behind LC Bird before you divide. So once you divide, it's going to be 30 point, maybe 5 or 6, maybe 6.5 for LC Bird. And Highland Springs is going to be looking at 29.8, somewhere in that area. So they're going to be, they're going to cut LC Bird's advantage in half. Hermitage will do the same, but Hermitage will be a bit below Highland Springs, also in the mid to high 29s. Also, don't forget about Douglas Freeman. Ranked sixth in our Big 12 poll, unbeaten. They were the four seed coming in tonight in 5A South Central. They shut out Deep Run. Fantastic performance defensively tonight by the Rebels to go to 8-0 on the season. They began the night with 198 points, just 1 point behind Highland Springs. We know that they get 24 for the win. They get 8 bonus points for beating Deep Run because they have 4 wins. That's 32 points. They get 4 other points because of teams that they had beaten who had won tonight. James River beating Cosby, 2 extra points for Freeman. That was a big one for them. We have them at 36 points. And if J.R. Tucker beats John Marshall tomorrow, in fact, J.R. Tucker, John Marshall playing tomorrow, and while we record, I'm just going to look up something here real quick. I don't think that game actually, end of it, excuse me, matters because Douglas Freeman has already played both of them and won. So, little addition here to my notes, they're going to get 2 points tomorrow no matter who wins that game. So that's 38. It's going to put them at 236, which is going to put them 1 point shy of Hermitage. So they're going to catch up to LC Bird, probably get into the 29s. And the top four in 5A South Central, it looks like it's going to be Bird first, Highland Springs second, Hermitage third, Freeman a very close fourth, and they're all going to be within a point or so of each other. So there's super separation here in this region with 2 weeks to go. Somebody's going to have to fall off the wagon if they're going to come out of the top four. We think we know the four teams that are going to host in the first round of the playoffs, even with 2 weeks to go. Again, one of these four teams would have to lose both games coming up. And a team like Verina, they'd have to, you know, they'd have to beat Highland Springs if they're going to catch up in the points, because they were 2.5 points behind to start tonight with Douglas Freeman. And they win tonight 55-0 over Armstrong, but they beat a winless team. So that's not going to help them, but so much. They started tonight at 180 points. We have them projected to have 32 new points to go to 212. But that still leaves them far behind Douglas Freeman, Hermitage, Highland Springs. So the separation is clearer this year, much clearer than it's been in years past. And it's going to be Bird, Hermitage, Highland Springs, Douglas Freeman in a fight to the finish. Next week, Bird plays Huguenot. So again, they play a team with only 2 wins this time instead of 1. So not a lot of bonus points there. Hermitage next week plays Glen Allen. They've only won 2 games. Highland Springs next week gets 7-1 Patrick Henry. If Highland Springs wins next week, I don't think it matters what Hermitage and LC Bird do. Beating a 7-win Patrick Henry team will likely put them in the driver's seat with a week to go and the trip to Verina. So the Springers, with a win next week, and that's no given, could be looking at trying to play for the number one seed when they go to Verina. But first things first, they got to take care of Patrick Henry. And I've said this before, Patrick Henry is not the most imposing team you've ever seen. They're not the biggest. They're not the strongest. And Coach Davis alluded to that at the beginning of our podcast during our interview on the RCI Builders postgame show tonight on the Game of the Week. But when you talk technique and when you talk doing what you're supposed to do at the point of attack, both sides of the line, Patrick Henry does some pretty good stuff. And again, they're going to go to Kreider and give Highland Springs their best shot and let the chips fall where they may. So LC Bird has work to do to try to be number one. Highland Springs has the advantage to try to take it over next week if things hold to form and they can win. But then Highland Springs has Verina in the final week of the season, and Hermitage and Douglas Freeman play each other. So we know that one of those two teams are going to fall off in the final week of the season, because one of them's going to win and one of them's going to lose. Freeman has to play Godwin next week. And, of course, Freeman-Godwin, if you don't understand rivalries in the West End, that one's humongous. And, excuse me, Godwin will be playing literally for their postseason lives. And they'd love nothing more than to give their arch rivals a loss. So there's still work to do for everybody. LC Bird with the easiest path next week with Huguenot. Hermitage, easy path of sorts with Glen Allen. They got to figure out a way to stop Devin Flowers. Boy, how impressive is he? Holy cow. But with Highland Springs playing 7-1 Patrick Henry, you just reap more points if you win. Simple as that. Now, below there, we said Verina won tonight, so they'll stay number 5. We project Lee Davis to move up to 6 because Henrico lost to Highland Springs and Hopewell beat Metoica 46-35. And so we project that Metoica will be at 195 points, and we have Lee Davis projected to be at 200 points. Henrico is probably going to fall to the 8th seed. We look at Lee Davis at 6. Well, check that. Lee Davis 6, Henrico 7, Metoica will be 8. Mills Godwin is the closest to staying with those 8, but they're going to be probably about 12 points behind Metoica, and then 3 points behind them, Prince George, who shut out Petersburg tonight 30-0 to even their record at 4-4. They, with the win and with Meadowbrook losing and Deep Run losing, they may not catch Deep Run, but they will certainly overtake Meadowbrook, I believe. The only advantage Meadowbrook has is strength of schedule. They're going to pick up some points because Highland Springs won and they beat Highland Springs. They'll pick up a point with Hermitage and a point with LC Bird, even though they lost to them. You get 1 point for each non-defeated opponent that wins. So that's the one hope that Meadowbrook has to hang around. But tonight's loss was big for the Monarchs, and I say that because they've still got to play Dinwiddie. And if they can't upset Dinwiddie in 2 weeks, 4-6 is not going to make it in the postseason in 5A South Central. Not when Lee Davis Henrico next week, Lee Davis 6-2, Henrico 5-3. If Lee Davis wins, they solidify their positioning. If Henrico wins, it draws everybody closer. Again, Mills Godwin has a chance to leap right back in with an upset against undefeated now 8-0 Douglas Freeman. So you put that into the mix, and there's just a whole lot of X factors still remaining. But things look good right now, a lot better than they did before tonight for Lee Davis. But Lee Davis needs to hold serve at home and beat Henrico. They should have beat Henrico at Henrico last year, and a couple of big mistakes cost them that game. Henrico's on the ropes. We don't know if Jones is going to be back at quarterback next week. Whether he is or not, Lee Davis needs to get this win to solidify their postseason position. And if they win next week, go to 7-2, I think that's good enough to make it. And then it'll be a question of what happens in the Tomato Bowl. And if they win, how high do they climb? And if they lose, where do they stand in those bottom 8? So we're looking at most likely Bird 1, Highland Springs 2, Hermitage for 3, Freeman, Razor Thin behind them in 4, and Hermitage, Highland Springs, Douglas Freeman all shaving into Bird's lead. Verina 5, Lee Davis 6, and then a combination of Henrico, Metoica 7-8, depending upon how that falls, and then Meadowbrook, Prince George, Mills Godwin, Doug Deep Run, all in some combination, but behind the top 8 teams, probably even further than they were entering tonight. So separation is now beginning in 5A South. In 5A North, for UPH and Atlee fans who are listening, Patrick Henry, you first. You want to know what's happening in the top of the bracket because you're 9 and you want to be top 8 so you can get a home game in the first round. Brook Point, no problem with Stafford tonight, 41-0. So the 1 seed beats the 15 seed. That's good news for Atlee, who began the night 14th. Number 2, Massaponix, they were tied for 2nd with Potomac Falls. Massaponix beats Mountain View 41-14. So Mountain View's chances for the postseason hurt even more. They were on the outside looking in tonight in 18th place. Another team on the outside in 17th, J.E.B. Stewart, falls to the other team tied for 2nd, Potomac Falls, 49-6. So those losses help Atlee in the sense that Atlee is not going to be able to fall below those two teams. That's good news for them. It's also good news that Stafford lost, although Stafford's going to pick up some bonus points because they lost to an 8-0 team. You get, again, 1 point for each win that a non-defeated opponent has. But by the same token, Atlee's going to get 7 points for losing to Patrick Henry. Also in 5A North, number 4 Stonebridge beats Tuscarora, number 10, 44-7. So for Patrick Henry, the good news, Tuscarora, who began the night a tenth of a point behind the Patriots, Patrick Henry's going to separate themselves a bit from them. Bad news, number 8, Broad Run, who started the night a half point ahead of Patrick Henry, they beat Oakton 34-6. So how many bonus points Broad Run's going to get? Hard to say. Patrick Henry, we know, will get 8 extra points for beating Atlee, and we'll see how that all falls out. Patrick Henry really wanted Powhatan to beat Albemarle, and it did not happen. Albemarle scored late, won 35-28. Big win for them. They started the night tied for 6 with North Stafford in the region, and North Stafford beat number 16 Potomac 38-14. So great news for Atlee. The four teams closest to them behind them in the playoffs all lost tonight. Stafford, Potomac, Stewart, Mountain View. So the Raiders should still be in the top 16 when the new numbers come out. The team just ahead of them, Orange, no problem with Charlottesville, 48-14. The team ahead of them, number 12, Falls Church, romps over Thomas Edison, 65-16. And number 11, Briar Woods, knocks off Chantilly, 42-3. The one bit of good news for Patrick Henry ahead of them is number 5, PH Roanoke, lost to Salem, 21-7. Patrick Henry began the night a point behind PH Roanoke. Their ninth, PH Roanoke was 5th. Now, they won't go over Broad Run, North Stafford, or Albemarle, most likely. But if PH Roanoke falls back to them, Patrick Henry could be 8th going to Highland Springs next week. And you think about it. Patrick Henry could upset Highland Springs, and it would be considered an upset. And if they could win the Tomato Bowl and finish at 9-1 and get all the extra points from a 7-1 Highland Springs team and a 6-2, at this point, Lee Davis team, then you're talking Patrick Henry knocking on the door of the top 5 in the region and possibly even getting, you know, top 4, depending upon how teams like Stonebridge and Potomac Falls finish their season. But there's much work to be done. We do believe with pretty fair certainty that with the win tonight, Patrick Henry has clinched a postseason bid in 5A North. We know Brook Point is in, Massaponics is in, Potomac Falls is in. We know all those three at the top, they are in the postseason, no matter what happens the rest of the way. Stonebridge is very close. We believe Patrick Henry is as close as Stonebridge is. Albemarle, very close, if not in. North Stafford, very close, if not in as well. So when the new numbers come out, we may see Patrick Henry move to 8th. That would be about the most that they could do based on tonight's results. Atlee may actually stay in 14th, or they may fall just a hair, but they should, we believe, still be in the top 16. But that makes next week's game on senior night against Verina absolutely huge, because if Atlee loses that game and then beats Armstrong, a winless Armstrong, to end the regular season, depending upon what happens. Now, you know, Stafford, Potomac, those teams may lose out depending upon their strength of schedule going down the stretch, but you don't want to count on other teams losing to make the playoffs. You don't want to back in. Atlee desperately needs a win over Verina next week, or their postseason hopes will be very seriously damaged. They can get over tonight based on the performance of other teams tonight. They can't afford that next week. So Verina Atlee will be huge. Now to 4A. At first, we thought that Dinwiddie, they beat Colonial Heights tonight, number 1 in our Big 12 poll, number 1 in 4A East, conferences 19-20, with the win 69-14 over a winless Colonials team. It would actually hurt them because Eastern View, also 7-0, who started the night a little over a point behind Dinwiddie, beat Liberty Bealeton, which is a 4-win team. But then we got to looking at how other teams did on both of their schedules, and we project that Dinwiddie will earn 30 points tonight, and Eastern View will earn 28, which means actually when the new numbers come out, we believe that Dinwiddie will actually slightly lengthen their lead over Eastern View in the number one position in 4A East. Louisa, big win tonight over Monticello. That should keep them ahead in third place of Chancellor, who defeated Caroline, as expected. Caroline's only got 1 win this year. 63-14, no problem for Chancellor tonight. Fifth place Powhatan, loses to Albemarle. Big news for Monacan, who was a 10th of a point behind Powhatan to start the night. They get to win over Midlothian, and so they'll at least get to fifth place, and they'll shave into Chancellor's lead in fourth place. And you want to be top 4 because it's a home game. in the first round of the playoffs. Now, what we also know for sure in 4A East is that we're pretty sure we know which eight teams are going to be in the playoffs. And the reason why we say that, coming into tonight, number eight Cortland had a point-and-a-half lead over both Midlothian, who was ninth, and Huguenot, who was 10th. Well, Huguenot had a bye tonight. Midlothian lost to Monacan. Monacan wins 45-13 to move to 8-1. But Cortland upset King George. Number eight beat number seven. Final score was 13-6. And so Cortland is going to separate themselves from the Trojans and the Falcons. And we project at this particular time that we know who is going to make the postseason in 4A East. It's looking pretty clear. It'll be Dinwiddie, Eastern View, Louisa, Chancellor, Monacan, Powhatan, King George, Cortland, in some shape or form in that order. Dinwiddie, Eastern View fighting for the top two. I think Monacan, no matter what happens against Manchester next week, is going to be knocking on the door with Louisa and Chancellor trying to get a home game. And if they beat Manchester to finish the regular season, huge, huge bonus points there. But at this point, with Midlothian with just having a game to go and Huguenot 2-6, but two games left, and one's against LC Byrd, it's going to be very, very, very difficult for either one of them, if not impossible, to reach Cortland now that Cortland beat King George tonight. Cortland win really makes a big difference there. So that's 4A East. 3A East, Hopewell's win over Metoica. I cannot tell you how big that was. 46-35 the final. The reason? The team ahead of them, number one Brentsville District, lost to Kettle Run. Kettle Run gets the win. Brentsville District goes to 6-2. Hopewell improves to 6-2. They started the night 0.8 of a point away from number one, and we project that they will be the new number one seed when the ratings come out first of the week. Now, breathing down Hopewell's neck was James Monroe in third, about 1.5 behind, and they take care of number nine Spotsylvania without a problem tonight. So they move to 6-2, and they're going to kind of separate themselves in the top three, because number four William Monroe, they lost to Central Woodstock 34-13. Thomas Jefferson had an awesome opportunity tonight to get a win at Glen Allen and look to become a four seed, which would mean a home playoff game in the first round, right? But they could not stop Devin Flowers, and Glen Allen rolls 55-13. Glen Allen has scored 55 points in each of their last two games, 110 points in two games, and they've obviously got a running back for the future. They continue to mold and shape their lines, and Coach Camp and company could really get something going at Glen Allen. We're starting to see the rumbles in the West End. You know, last couple of years, it's been Deep Run way down, Glen Allen down, J.R. Tucker struggling, you know, the ascension of Freeman, a lot of that credit to Mike Henderson, the coach. You know, incredible record for him since he started coaching there, coming over from BSH. But we're starting to see, you know, Deep Run with four wins already. They could get a 500 season. That would be huge for them. Glen Allen, they got a big test against Hermitage coming up next week. But, you know, if Glen Allen could even at 2-8, that's an improvement from last year. And they play at J.R. Tucker the final night of the season. And if you don't know, you know, about this, it's a short rivalry, but Glen Allen and J.R. Tucker can't stand each other. And so that game will have nothing to do with the postseason November 4th, but it will be a crazy, crazy game. And if Glen Allen could get that and finish at 3-7, that's a big step in the right direction for the Jaguars. So look out for the Jags. Look out for Deep Run as they start building things toward the future. Across town, even though they lost tonight 40-20 against Manchester, watch Clover Hill. Just keep this in the back of your mind for 2017 and beyond. Their JV team's having a bang-up year. Clover Hill is, I believe, a year away from starting to make some noise and getting back into the discussion in what will still be 6A South, but it will be a new. It'll be called Class 6 Central Region or something along that line when the second round of reclassification takes place next summer. So Thomas Jefferson misses an opportunity to take over fourth place. Petersburg misses an opportunity to jump over both TJ and William Monroe. They lose to Prince George, their sixth seed. Obviously, number seven, George Wythe, lost to LC Byrd. Number eight, Culpeper County, gets a big win over Manassas Park tonight, 35-14. So Culpeper will likely take over at least sixth place, knocking George Wythe to eighth and Petersburg to seventh. And they could knock on the door of Thomas Jefferson for fifth. Spotsylvania lost, and John Marshall plays tomorrow, again, against J.R. Tucker at 1 p.m. They play Saturday, if you're listening to this on Saturday. And John Marshall, with a win, could get back into the discussion because they'd leap over Spotsylvania, and they could be knocking on the door for George Wythe in eighth place. But the big news tonight is Hopewell will take over number one. In 2A East, Stuart Straff won tonight. So did Goochland. Stuart Straff was number one. 52-13 win over Page County. Goochland was number two. They moved to 9-0 with a 28-14 win over Central Lunenburg. Now, that's good news for Goochland because Central Lunenburg had a very good record. So bonus points are coming there. But remember, Goochland will only be accredited for nine games this year because their game against Fork Union early in the season doesn't count in the VHSL playoff race because it's against a private school. So when we end up the regular season November 4th, Stuart Straff's numbers will be divided by 10. Goochland's will be divided by 9. King William beats Middlesex tonight 42-14. I believe that's three in a row for King William. They're now 5-3. Not only have they gone up in 2A East once they were out, now they enter tonight at 11th. Possibility that King William could even move up closer to hosting a home game in the first round. They started tonight just 2 points out of 8th place. Amelia came in tied for 14th, and they lost to Nottoway 28-18. And so we'll see how that works out. We have not had a chance to get updates on Essex and Charles City in 1A East, so as soon as we do that, we'll post it on Twitter at the RVA Sportsnet. So the headlines of the hour from week 9 in football. Manchester will hold at number 2 behind Colonial Forge in 6A. Thomasdale at worst will stay 4th. James River will at worst stay 6th. Cosby won't drop out because Forest Park and Woodbridge, who were the 9 and 10 seeds and on the outside looking in, both lose tonight. So the Titans, they can absorb the blow with the home loss to James River. And congratulations to the Rapids for going into what's obviously for them a hostile environment and getting the win. 5A South Central, LC Byrd will hang on to number 1. Highland Springs will overtake Hermitage just barely for number 2 by our projections. Hermitage will be 3. Just behind them will be Douglas Freeman, and all three teams will cut into Byrd's advantage, which was 2 points over Hermitage entering the night. We look for the advantage to be at about a point or maybe even less. Serious separation between the top 4 and the 5th through 8th seeds. Verina will stay 5th. Lee Davis should bump up to 6th after Henrico and Metoica both lose. Henrico, Metoica in some combination in 7 or 8 because Mills Godwin, Deep Run, Meadowbrook behind them in 9, 10, and 11 out of the playoffs looking in. They all lose tonight as well. Prince George wins against Petersburg, but they started the night over a point out of 11th place and nearly 3 points out of 8th. So whether they're going to be able to make any serious hay remains to be seen. They might be able to catch up to like Deep Run and Mills Godwin or come close to it, but Meadowbrook with their strength of schedule, even though they lost, will help them. 5A North, we think Patrick Henry will be in about the 8-9 range after their win over Atlee. Good news for Atlee is that the teams below them all lost tonight, Stafford, Potomac, J.E.B. Stewart, Mountain View, and so it'll all depend on all the bonus points, and with Atlee losing to a 7-1 Patrick Henry team, 7 points for how the non-defeated opponent does. And Patrick Henry now a non-defeated opponent for Atlee. So we believe they'll still be in the top 16, but they have got to beat Verina next week. Otherwise, playoff hopes will be incredibly tenuous, playing a winless Armstrong at this point to end the season. 4A East, we think Dinwiddie is going to strengthen a bit their hold over with number 1 over Eastern View. Louisa should stay in 3rd. Chancellor will probably be in 4th ahead of Monacan, who will rise to at least 5th since Powhatan lost. Powhatan will be no worse than 6th due to number 7 King George losing to number 8 Cortland. And with Cortland winning that game, they're going to separate themselves from Midlothian and Huguenot to the point to where we don't think the Trojans nor the Falcons are going to be able to have time to catch up because Midlothian only has 1 game left. Huguenot has 2, but one of them is, again, against LC Byrd. We project Hopewell to become the new number 1 seed in 3A East Conferences 26 and 28. It's looking like they'll be in 1st, Brentsville District in 2nd, James Monroe in 3rd. Again, TJ misses a big chance tonight to leap over William Monroe for 4th. And if John Marshall can beat J.R. Tucker on Saturday, John Marshall could be in the discussion when it comes to the eighth seed with George Wythe. They started the day a little under two points behind. Don't know if they'll make it to number eight, but they could be in the discussion with 2 weeks to go. So there you go. And the Saturday games again, J.R. Tucker, John Marshall, that's a 1 o'clock kick. Benedictine, number 11 in our Big 12 high school football poll, goes to Woodbury Forest, who's playing some incredible football right now. They are not eligible for the VISAA playoffs, though. Benedictine starts the game tied for first in Division One. Collegiate gets a big win today. They started tied for third in Division One. That will strengthen their positioning. Top four make the playoffs for the state semis in each of the three divisions. St. Christopher's home to Bishop Ireton on Saturday afternoon as well. So unofficially tonight, Hunter Hart for 229 yards and three touchdowns. He had a 39-yard pass completion. Spent a lot of the night at quarterback, quote-unquote, in the Wildcat formation. Just another look at Highland Springs will have to be ready for when 7-1 PH goes to 7-1 Highland Springs. Wishing my buddy Evan Hughes at Patriot Talk Live best of luck on the coverage of that game next week. That should be a barn burner. We're going to have a good one, too. Our game of the week next week. Henrico comes to Lee Davis. Lee Davis 6-2, Henrico 5-3, trying not to free fall out of 5A South. And we'll start with the On the Sidelines pregame show powered by Sheehy Ford of Ashland at 6:30 on WHAN 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, and of course online on the RVA Sports Network. Links at all of our websites, including RVASportsNetwork.com, and on the TuneIn Radio app, just search Radial, R-A-D-I-A-L-L. Well, there's more than just high school football going on, and I know that's our focus on Friday nights on our podcast, but a quick reminder, 2016 conference tournaments and field hockey get underway on Monday. Most of the conferences will have games going on 3, 11, 12, 16, 20, and the combination of 25-26, and you go to Tournament Central at rvasportsnetwork.com. We have all the schedules there for you, all the brackets and breakdowns, when the championship games are, how many teams make the region from the conferences. So, again, Tournament Central for field hockey is at rvasportsnetwork.com. And if you're looking for your specific school in one of the counties, then Tournament Central, your version, is also available at HanoverCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, and ChesterfieldCountySports.net. We will be at the Conference 16 semifinals on Monday night when number 2 Atlee hosts number 3 Patrick Henry, covering that not only for us here at RVASN, but also for the Hanover Herald Progress as well. Speaking of them, we'll be at Randolph-Macon later today, Saturday. It's homecoming for the Yellow Jackets, trying to come back off their first loss of the year, 5-1. They host Catholic, who gave Hamden Sydney all they could handle last week. No easy tests in the ODAC this year, none at all. And so we'll have updates on that game from Dayfield at 1 p.m. on Hanover Sports. Speaking of Randolph-Macon, congratulations to the volleyball team. They have clinched the ODAC regular season title with a 5-set thrilling win at Lynchburg back on Wednesday night. That means the ODAC tournament semis and championship will be again hosted at Crenshaw Gymnasium on November 5th, 2 weeks from now. And there's a week left in volleyball season before high school playoffs begin a week from Saturday, with Conference 11 playing their boys and girls quarterfinals, all at Lee Davis High School. Of course, we'll be updating you on that as well. Cross country is getting into the postseason too. Thanks, folks, for being with us on this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. Of course, produced and solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or other use of our podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC is prohibited. And hey, did you see? We're starting to build out our basketball schedule. The season premiere of RVA Sports Network High School Hoops, November 29th, will be at Hermitage High School when Henrico comes calling. And RVA Sports Network proud to announce that we will again be broadcasting the 2016 Henrico Holiday Hoops Tournament. We'll start our coverage with first round Tuesday on December 27th. And we'll have championship Thursday on the 29th as well. And we'll have more announcements on more basketball broadcast coming up soon. So stay with us across our Twitter network. Rob Witham saying thanks for being with us for week 9 of high school football. We'll see you on the sidelines.